I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to The Hour of the Time. And for all of you calling and asking, no, we have not discontinued our series on the mysteries, the one pursuing the clash between Freemasonry and Catholicism. It's just, folks, that we have to take care of some other things. And that's what last night and tonight is all about. We have a newspaper. The newspaper is called Veritas. V as in Victor. E-R-I-T-A-S. It is, without any doubt, the best, most truthful newspaper in America. It's the only newspaper that dares to discuss in depth and researched in depth, citing sources, what nobody else will touch with a 10-foot pole. And when they do, or if they do, I should say, which is very rare, they merely brush the surface. It is not a newsletter. It's not your typical Patriot mimeographed 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. It is a full-sized newspaper. It is not a tabloid like the Spotlight, ladies and gentlemen. And we tell the truth in Veritas. When facts are facts, we write them as articles. We do not slant our articles. We merely tell the truth. When we are writing editorials, we clearly label them as editorials. And when we have something that is the writer's opinion, we clearly label it opinion. You don't find that anywhere else. Some of the things that we have touched upon have shaken the city of Washington. You see, our newspaper is hand-delivered by special messenger to every member of the House of Representatives, every senator, every department head, every agency head, every member of the president's cabinet, the president and the vice president, with every issue at my expense. Nobody else does that either. You see, I put my money where my mouth is, ladies and gentlemen, which is more than I can say for many of you. Unfortunately, most people who call themselves conservatives and patriots don't even support their own causes. That's shameful. Just one issue of any of the six that we have already published, take your pick, any one of those issues are priceless. Literally priceless. If you were to collect the information, do the research yourself, it would cost you years and thousands of dollars. You don't find what we publish anywhere else. I don't care what you subscribe to, and I don't care how well you like it. As you heard last night in part one of this two-night series, on just our headline article that appeared in the last issue of Veritas, if you had been able to research this information, it would have taken you probably most of your lifetime. It probably would have cost you tens of thousands of dollars if you had done it on your own. And ladies and gentlemen, it would have been worth it because it would have saved you all the tribute that you have been paying over the years and will continue to pay for the rest of your life because you didn't take the time to research it. And because you are afraid to stand up for what is right. And that is the truth. You see, years ago, I put together the world's largest and most successful civilian intelligence gathering organization in the entire world. We have people working tirelessly every day, digging for information, doing assigned research projects, gathering intelligence at every level of government, military, and civilian life, not only in this country, but worldwide. And the results of these efforts are what you read in Veritas and what you hear on the Hour of the Time. Much of it you will never hear and you will never see. It is filtered through a vast network across this country into the hands of the leaders of the militia, who will use that information to make sure that we are successful in this war. And make no mistake about it, we are at war. A war between those who want to put together a one-world totalitarian socialist government upon the bones and the ashes of the Constitution for the United States of America and the liberty of the American people. They want to eliminate all Christians, all fundamentalist religions, no matter what they call themselves, the Islamic religion, and Orthodox Judaism. Real Americans would not allow any of this to happen, for real Americans love and understand liberty. Those are faced off with real Americans who will fight to the death to preserve liberty, freedom, and justice. That's what we're all about. All people, no matter what their race, religion, color, or creed, are welcome if they are real Americans and understand the concept of liberty, which simply is this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm free to do anything, and you're free to do anything that is not prohibited to us by our constitutions of our states and of the Constitution for the United States of America, and is not against the laws that were made according to those constitutions and are legal and lawful and constitutional laws, as long as we do not injure the person or property of any other human being upon this earth, no matter their race, religion, color, or creed. For those of you who think that it's the Jews, you're wrong. For Jewish Orthodox synagogues and the Jewish Orthodox religion will be destroyed if our enemies win this battle. If you believe that it's the blacks, you're wrong. The blacks stand to lose more than anyone in this battle. They think they're going to be liberated. They think they're going to finally be set free. But the elite of the world who are bringing into reality the New World Order refer to them as the useless eaters, along with most of the Hispanic and Indian races. And I mean Indian as in American Indian. So if you would like to get a newspaper that finally will tell you the truth, finally, subscribe to Veritas. And by the way, the price is going to have to go back up. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, so you better subscribe now. It was $55 for 24 issues. We managed to bring it down to 27. We miscalculated. I think the final price for 24 issues is going to be somewhere between $30 and $35. And as soon as this next issue goes to press, which is Monday, the new price will take effect. Right now, you can still get Veritas 24 issues for $27. And if you're interested in distributing our newspaper, make sure you get this next issue and refer to our ad on distributorships. You'll find that it's very attractive, and you can make a very decent profit distributing our newspaper. Veritas is Latin for truth. And that's what you're going to find in the pages of Veritas. Whenever we make a mistake, we will not only publish a retraction and correct our mistake, but as those of you who are already subscribing to Veritas have already found out, we will publish the retraction and the correction on the very front page of the newspaper. not like the other establishment rags and lying communist media fronts in this country. Whenever they are forced to by a court, and that's the only time they ever do it, they bury it in the paper. They make it very, very small and usually put it somewhere where nobody will ever see it. Make your check or money order payable to Veritas. V as in Victor, E-R-I-T-A-S, Veritas. And send it to Veritas, Post Office Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. I will repeat that address later in the broadcast. Veritas, Post Office Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. And shame on you if you ever listen to this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, without pen and paper by your side.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want
a new world order. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashes make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell.
By the way, folks, you can order any of the broadcasts of the hour of the time on studio quality stereo broadcast tapes. For members, they're $8 per tape. And if you don't know if you're a member, you're not one, so don't bother in calling and asking. $8 per tape for members. $10 for non-members. $10 for non-members. If you want to be a member, write and ask how you can become a member of the intelligence service. You have to take an oath of allegiance, ladies and gentlemen, to the Constitution for the United States of America. If you're not willing to do that, don't bother writing. You'll never get in. Not if you had $100 million membership fee to offer, you would be refused. If you would like to order tapes of the hour of the time, specify the date or the catalog number in our catalog of the tape. The date or the catalog number. If you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, after midnight, it's the date before midnight is the proper date. Make check or money order payable to Annie, A-N-N-I-E, and send it to the Intelligence Service. That's not to be on the check. That's the address to send it to. The Intelligence Service, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, spelled exactly like it sounds, Arizona, 85901. That's the Intelligence Service, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. Now I continue where we left off last night. with the headline article that appeared in the last issue, issue number 6 of Veritas. No one in government is allowed to do anything unless they have been given specific written authority in the law, or someone who has been given authority in the law gives that person a delegation of authority order, spelling out exactly what they can and cannot do under that specific order. We combed the Department of the Treasury's handbook of delegation orders, and we found that no one in the Internal Revenue Service or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has any authority to do most of the things they have been doing for years. For example, Delegation Order number 115, Revision 5, of May 12, 1986, is the only delegation of authority to conduct audit. It is the only delegation of authority to conduct audit. It clearly states that the Internal Revenue Service and Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms can only audit themselves and only for amounts of $750 or less. Any amount above that amount must be audited by the Comptroller General according to Title 31 United States Code. No other authority to audit exists. Now let me tell you how much our newspaper is shaking up Washington. Since our newspaper revealed this story and was hand-delivered to everyone in Washington, D.C., the IRS has discontinued their random audit of American citizens. So don't tell me that one person cannot make a difference. One person, many instances throughout the history of the world, has changed the entire future of the world. No other authority to audit exists. No Internal Revenue Service or Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agent or representative can furnish us with any law, rule, or regulation which gives them the authority to audit anyone other than themselves. Order number 191 states that they can levy on property, but only if that property is in the hands of third parties. The manual states on page 1100-40.2 of April 21st, 1989, Criminal Investigation Division, that the Criminal Investigation Division enforces the criminal statutes applicable to income, estate, gift, employment, and excise tax laws involving United States citizens residing in foreign countries and non-resident aliens subject to federal income tax filing requirements by developing information concerning alleged criminal violations thereof, evaluating allegations and indications of such violations to determine investigations to be undertaken, investigating suspected criminal violations of such laws, recommending prosecution when warranted, and measuring effectiveness of the investigation process. You feel kind of stupid now? I bet many of you have been calling those of us who have been researching this and have discovered what's been going on and stopped filing returns and paying this illegal tribute. I bet many of you have been calling us names over the years, haven't you? Hang your heads in shame. You are the sheep, not us. On page 1100-40.1, it states in 1132.7 of April 21st, 1989, Director, Office of Taxpayer Service and Compliance, responsible for operation of a comprehensive enforcement and assistance program for all taxpayers under the immediate jurisdiction of the Assistant Commissioner International, directs the full range of collection activity on delinquent accounts and delinquent returns for taxpayers overseas, in Puerto Rico, and in United States possessions and territories. 1132.72 of April 21, 1989, Collection Division says, executes the full range of collection activities on delinquent accounts, which includes securing delinquent returns involving taxpayers outside the United States and those in United States territories, possessions, and in Puerto Rico. The United States Attorney's Manual, Title 6, Tax Division, Chapter 4, page 16, October 1st, 1988, 6-4.270, Criminal Division Responsibility states, and I quote, the Criminal Division has limited responsibility for the prosecution of offenses investigated by the Internal Revenue Service. Those offenses are excise violations involving liquor tax, narcotics, stamp tax, firearms, wagering, and coin-operated gambling and amusement machines, malfeasance offenses committed by Internal Revenue Service personnel, forcible rescue of seized property, corrupt or forcible interference with an officer or employee acting under the Internal Revenue laws, and unauthorized mutilation, removal, or misuse of stamps. Not postage stamps, revenue stamps. See 28 CFR, that's 28 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 0.70. We found this revelation, ladies and gentlemen, in Title 28, United States Code, Rule 54C, which is the Rules of Courts. The Rules of Courts, Title 28, USC, ladies and gentlemen, was written by the Supreme Court justices. So it doesn't need to go to the Supreme Court to decide upon whether it is constitutional. They ruled on it when they wrote it. Title 28, United States Code, Rule 54C, Application of Terms. Quote, as used in these rules, the following terms have the designated meanings. Act of Congress includes any act of Congress locally applicable to and in force in the District of Columbia, in Puerto Rico, in a territory, or in an insular possession, end quote. 28 United States Code is the rules of courts and was written and approved by the justices of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, in writing 28 United States Code, has already ruled upon this issue. It is the law. Feel kind of sheepish, do you? You should. Where does the money go that is paid into the Internal Revenue Service? Well, we know that it spends at least a year in what is called a quad zero account under an individual master file, after which time the director of the Internal Revenue Center can apparently do whatever he wants with the money. We know that it is sometimes dispersed under Treasury Order 91, Revision 1, May 12, 1986, which is a service agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the Agency for International Development, or AID. When William Casey, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency during Iran-Contra, was the head of the Agency for International Development, he funneled hundreds of millions of dollars to the Soviet Union, which money was spent building the Kama River Truck Factory, the largest military production facility for tanks, trucks, armored personnel carriers, and other wheeled military vehicles in the entire world. The Kama River factory has a production capability larger than all of the combined automobile and truck manufacturing plants in the entire United States of America. It was paid for with your income tax dollars. The agreement states, quote, authority is hereby delegated to the Assistant Commissioner International to develop and enter into the service agreement between the Treasury Department and the Agency for International Development. The Secretary of the Treasury is always appointed United States Governor of the International Monetary Fund in accordance with the international agreement that created the International Monetary Fund. the Secretary of the Treasury is paid by the International Monetary Fund, an agency of the United Nations, while serving as governor. Lloyd Benson held the following positions at the same time he was the Secretary of the Treasury: U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund, U.S. Governor of the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, U.S. Governor of the Inter-American Development Bank, U.S. Governor of the African Development Bank, U.S. Governor of the Asian Development Bank, U.S. Governor of the African Development Fund, and U.S. Governor of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Mr. Benson received a salary from each of these organizations, which literally made him an unregistered agent of several foreign powers and the greatest welfare benefactor in the world. By birth, ladies and gentlemen, we are each a citizen of the state of California, are a citizen of the state of Arizona, are a citizen of whatever state wherein we individually were born. And at the same time, we are all, each of us, citizens of the United States of America, united with a small lowercase u, and are not subject to acts of Congress other than the 18 powers specifically cited in the Constitution for the United States of America. People who are born or who reside within the Federal District of Columbia, Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, the Northern Mariana Islands, any territory on any naval base or dockyard, within forts or within insular possessions, are called U.S. citizens, U and S both capitalized, and are subject to acts of Congress. In U.S. citizens, the C of citizens is lowercase, small letter. For those of us born as citizens of states, citizen is always capitalized, and the U of United States of America is always lowercase. Within the law, words have meanings that are not ever the same meanings that are accepted in common usage. Our Constitution is the Constitution for the United States of America, small u on the word united. The U.S. Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, sorry to tell you this, is the Constitution of Puerto Rico. We are subject to the laws of the jurisdiction which we volunteer to accept. In the law governing income tax, income is defined as foreign earned income, offshore oil well or windfall profits, and war profits. A return is prepared by a taxpayer to submit to the federal government taxes that he or she has collected. A taxpayer is one who collects taxes and submits the taxes as a return to the federal government. An employee is one who is employed by the federal government. An employer is the federal government. An individual is a citizen of Guam or the U.S. Virgin Islands. A business is defined as a government, a bank, or an insurance company. A resident is an alien citizen of Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands, or Puerto Rico who resides within one of the 50 states of the United States of America or one of the other island possessions. And this will really grab you. A Form 1040, according to the law, is the income tax return for a non-resident alien citizen of the U.S. Virgin Islands residing within one of the 50 states of the several states of the United States of America. If you volunteer that you are a U.S. citizen by checking it off on any form or saying it verbally, you have become a U.S. citizen by volunteering. If you write or print your name on a line labeled taxpayer, you have become a taxpayer. Since these forms are affidavits which you submit under penalty of perjury, you commit a crime every time you fill one out and sign stating that you are what you are not. the federal government is delighted by your ignorance and by your crime and will gladly accept your returns and your money. As proof, refer to the Virgin Islands Tax Guide, which states clearly, quote, all references to the district director or to the Commissioner of Internal Revenue should be interpreted to mean the director of the Virgin Islands Bureau of Internal Revenue. All references to the Internal Revenue Service, the Federal Depository, and similar references should be interpreted as the Bureau of Internal Revenue, and so forth. Any questions in interpreting federal forms for use in the Virgin Islands should be referred to the Bureau of Internal Revenue. End quote. In Internal Revenue Service Publication 6209, in Internal Revenue Service Publication 6209, computer codes for the IRS, quote, TC150, end quote, is listed as the code for Virgin Island returns, and the codes 300 through 398 are listed as, quote, U.S. and United Kingdom tax treaty claims involving taxes on narcotics, which were financed in the Cayman Islands and imported into the Virgin Islands, end quote. Whenever Freedom of Information Act requests have been filed for individual master file, or IMF, for people who are experiencing tax problems with the Internal Revenue Service, every single return involving a 1040 has been found to contain the above codes, except for some which are coded as Guam returns. Every return shows that the unsuspecting citizen is being taxed on income derived from importing narcotics, alcohol, tobacco, or firearms into the United States or one of its territories or possessions from a foreign country or from Guam, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, or into the Virgin Islands from the Cayman Islands. This elaborate scam manifests itself in many different ways. In order to maintain the semblance of legality, hats are changed from moment to moment. For instance, when you are told to submit records for examination, you are actually dealing with customs. When you submit an offer in compromise to the IRS, you are dealing with the Coast Guard. And when you are confronted by a special agent of the Internal Revenue Service, you are really dealing with a deputized United States Marshal. And when you are being investigated by the alleged Internal Revenue Service, you are really dealing with an agent contracted by the Justice Department to investigate narcotics violations. When the alleged Internal Revenue Service charges you with a crime, you are actually dealing with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which has the only section of the code which involves enforcement. You see, only a small part of Title 26 United States Code is administered by the alleged Internal Revenue Service. Most of the code, in fact, is administered by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, including Chapters 61 through 80, which is enforcement. In addition, Title 27, Code of Federal Regulations, is Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and states in Subpart B, Definitions, 250.11, Meaning of Terms, quote, United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office equals Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office in Puerto Rico. Every person we ever find who is being prosecuted by the alleged Internal Revenue Service has a code on their individual master file, putting them in tax class 6, which clearly designated that they have violated a law relating to alcohol, tobacco, or firearms in Puerto Rico. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has no venue or jurisdiction within the borders of any of the 50 states of the United States of America except in pursuit of an importer of contraband alcohol, tobacco, or firearms who failed to pay the tax on those items. As proof, ladies and gentlemen, please refer to the July 30, 1993 ruling of the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in 1 F.3rd, 1511, 1993, United States Supreme Court, APP Lexus 19747, where the court ruled in United States versus D.J. Vollmer and Company that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has jurisdiction over the first sale of a firearm imported to the country, but they don't have jurisdiction over subsequent sales. All gun dealers who apply for and fill out a federal firearms license application and receive that license are licensed in Puerto Rico. Attorneys, including your defense attorney, the U.S. attorney, federal judges, an alleged Internal Revenue Service and Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms personnel routinely lie in depositions and on the witness stand to perpetuate this fraud. They do this willingly and with full knowledge that they are committing perjury. Every single judge intentionally lies every time he or she gives instructions to a jury in a criminal or tax case brought by the Internal Revenue Service or Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. They all know it and do it willingly and with full malice aforethought. Now, how does the government hire people who will intentionally work to defraud their fellow Americans? That was one question that just bothered me to the core. You see, most of those who work on the lower levels for the IRS and BATF and other agencies simply do not know the truth. They are only told what they're supposed to do by their supervisors, and thinking that their supervisors would not lie to them, they go out and do what they are told. They don't ask questions because their stupid little stinking job is more important than the liberty of the entire country. They do as they are told to earn a living until they can retire and collect a big fat government retirement check. Executives, U.S. attorneys, federal judges, and others do know and are, with full knowledge and malice aforethought, participating in the crime of the century. Many of these people, including the president, are paid lots of money. Oh, now you think I've gone off the deep end, huh? Well, just keep your ear glued to your little radio speaker, because I'm going to clean out your ears, and I hope clean up your life. And maybe together we can save freedom for not only this country, but the world. You see, if we fall, the world falls. The Internal Revenue Manual, Handbook of Delegation Orders, January the 17th, 1983, page 1229-91, outlines the alleged Internal Revenue Service's system of monetary awards. Quote, of up to and including $5,000 for any one individual, employee, or group of employees in his or her immediate office, including field employees engaged in national office projects and contributions of employees of other government agencies and armed forces members, end quote. With the approval of the deputy commissioner, quote, of $5,001 to $10,000 for any one individual or group, end quote, with the approval of the deputy commissioner, end quote, of $10,001 to $25,000 for any one individual or group with the commissioner's concurrence. An additional, listen to this, quote, an additional monetary award of $10,000, total of $35,000 to the President of the United States through Treasury and OPM with the Commissioner's concurrence, end quote. These awards, ladies and gentlemen, include cash awards. They are not limited as to number that may be awarded to any one person or group. In fact, there is no time limitation placed upon any award. You see, any person or group of persons can be awarded this money, including U.S. attorneys, federal judges, your certified public accountant, the President of the United States, members of Congress, your mother, H&R Block, etc. In fact, the awards may be given to the same person or group each minute, each hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, or not at all. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. government and the alleged Internal Revenue Service, also known as the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, have a perfectly legal system of bribery. The bribery works against the citizens of the several states of the United States of America. Our investigation, folks, uncovered an awful lot, and we only included a very little in this article. Now, successful use of any of this information requires an awful lot of study and an excellent understanding of the legal system and legal procedures. So I'm going to have to ask you, please do not compound any errors that you have already made by attempting to extract some imaginary magic bullet to use against the alleged Internal Revenue Service or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms from this broadcast, from last night's broadcast, or from the headline article in issue number 6 of Veritas. You see, it is not ever enough to discover this information. You must know it inside out, backward and forward, like you know the smell of your own breath. We have been betrayed, ladies and gentlemen, by those we trusted. We have been robbed of our money and our property. It happened simply because we trusted imperfect men to rule imperfect men, and we failed in our duty as the watchdog. If you really want to know what's wrong with this country, go in your bathroom right now and look into the mirror. It happened, ladies and gentlemen, because we have been ignorant, apathetic, and yes, even downright stupid. In my book, Behold a Pale Horse, I wrote this phrase: a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals that do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent.
A. N. E. R. I. K. A. Comrade Clinton is marching us toward the millennium. His agenda, a new world order. He intends to foreclose upon the people and the property of the United States of America. The UN said it was necessary to kill the congregation at Waco to save the children. Comrade Clinton ties us and guides us into surrendering our sovereignty piece by piece to a one world government. What happened to you, America? Have you lost both your will to win and your mind? Would you willingly turn your children over to the Hitlerian health Gestapo to be immunized with a mark? Will you allow your kids to be numbered like animals, as were the Jews and Gypsies in Nazi concentration camps? Well, they can be tracked and controlled from cradle to grave, and not raise your gun nor your voice. Have you bought Clinton's big lie and rejected
the... Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They deal only in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets. Now, I told you that I was going to reveal to you tonight something that's coming, a cashless economy. I'm going to delay that until sometime next week, because I would like to devote an entire episode of the Hour of the Time to this problem, and it is a problem. Those of you who wish to begin preparing yourselves, who have not already begun, and believe me, pretty soon it's going to be too late, ladies and gentlemen, you had better start. You're going to need water. You're going to need food. You're going to need a Bible or the book of your religion to give you spiritual comfort in the months, the days, the years to come. You're going to need some bullets, and you're going to need some guns to protect yourself and defend your family and your community. You should join a militia and become active as an American, dedicated to the ideals and principles upon which this nation was founded. You need to study your country's history. There's a lot of things you need to know. You need warm clothing and lots of it to last you for a long time. And you need real money. You also need to be evaluating those around you. Get rid of the flakes, the leeches, and the hangers-on. Learn who are real people and who are not. I know a lot of you will have a tendency to slough this off right now, but I'm going to tell you that just as recently as 1988, I couldn't get anyone to listen to me. And now, thousands of people have written me, and they have said in those letters, "Bill, I wished I had listened to you the first time I heard you, because everything that you have warned me about has come true." Call Swiss America Trading. Get your hands on some real money and do it now. 1-800-289-2646. Stop listening to the establishment news. Dan Rather doesn't have a brain. He has a teleprompter where he reads what he is told to read. And so do the rest of them. Peter Jennings is not even an American citizen. He is a Canadian citizen, which is already under the thumb of the New World Order. And I could go on and on and on. And they all belong to the Council on Foreign Relations and many other subversive organizations dedicated to bringing about a world totalitarian socialist government. So call 1-800-289-2646. Ladies and gentlemen, get your hands on some real money and do it now. 1-800-289-2646. Go back to your roots.
To be politically correct, rather than spiritually right. America, God help us. Haven't you learned? The earth was betrayed 2,000 years before. It was the world's greatest loss. When they raised their liberal hammer and nailed him to the cross.
You know, Linda Thompson's announced armed march on Washington provides a clean divide among the people who discuss it. Many people were either infuriated or horrified by the suggestion. You see, the armed march on Washington is often a major talking point in efforts to discredit Mrs. Thompson, ever since she announced the plan in April of 1994. Yet, U.S. government armed services regularly march through the streets and crowds of Washington, D.C., The participants in those marches wear the colors of the government, draw their pay from the government, and are ultimately trusted with lethal force within the Capitol. Why should the march of a citizen army be condemned? The armed march on Washington is a good talking point, and it cuts to the heart of the issue right straight to the quick. The issue is the relationship of the people to their government. On this subject, people fall into one of three groups. The first group are the royalists. Members of this group have no problem with military parades where the government's forces of mass destruction are paraded before the forcibly disarmed populace. On the subject of citizens' militias, the royalist position is enunciated by M. Samuel Sherwood, founder and director, and possibly the only member of the United States Militia Association. According to Mr. Sherwood, militias drilling with weapons would be totally inappropriate. We believe in county, city, and state militia units that have the charter, sanction, or approval of the sheriffs, county commissioners, or whoever the local political authority is based upon law. That's from the New American, February 6, 1995, page 29, and is a direct quote. Since the American Revolution of 1776 was illegal at the time, one may assume, ladies and gentlemen, that Mr. Sherwood would have backed the legal authority then in existence. That is, he would have supported the ruling sovereign, King George III, and his duly appointed governors and military commanders. According to King George, all rights and power came to the king directly from God, and in his royal generosity, he licensed them out to his subjects to be enjoyed as long as they behaved themselves and did not displease King George. The second group, who have an opinion on the armed march on Washington, are the chicken hearts. They know we live in an occupied Roman province, and they are terrified of the Roman Imperial Guard. They gnaw their knuckles when the armed march on Washington is mentioned, and look around in fear of government eavesdroppers. The chicken hearts disapprove of the armed march on Washington because they believe, ladies and gentlemen, the paranoid U.S. government would order soldiers to open fire on the marchers. Despite their full understanding of the nature of our current government, they are religiously and viscerally incapable of opposing it. Waco, the staged torture, murder, and burning to death of innocents, was designed for the chicken hearts as an object lesson. In their fear, the chicken hearts will betray those who seek independence. They are the perfect complement to King George, Tiberius Caesar, Napoleon, or any other tyrant who seeks utter subjugation of the people. In discussions of the armed march on Washington, there is a third group. We shall call this third group the inheritors of the American Revolution. They remember the words of the Declaration of Independence, quote, that to secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government. These people believe that government is created and sustained by the citizens to serve their purposes and may be abolished when it no longer pleases the citizens. To these people, a government is no more holy than any other organization of human labor. When she canceled the armed march on Washington, Mrs. Thompson published a statement in which she said that her purpose for announcing the march in this first place was tactical. Has anything, she asked, in the history of this country since the Revolutionary War mobilized so many citizens so quickly or so effectively? Are done so much to literally scare the absolute bejeebers of a tyrannical government as the public announcement that enough is enough, we, the people, are going to arrest the traitors and man the weapons? She says that the announcement of the march resulted in a broad realization that the government is not able to suppress large numbers of people. The government lacks the manpower and the training. They have stretched their assets in too many places. They know they cannot rely on the U.S. military to fire on U.S. citizens, nor can the U.S. government rely on United Nations troops who don't train well together, don't speak the same language, don't use the same signals or equipment, and overall don't work together very well. They more resemble the Keystone Cops. It is only the U.S. government's propaganda machine that has some convinced the government is the great, all-powerful Oz. It was the march, she says, that forced people to ask the basic question, just how many troops could they call up anyway? The answer was that we outnumber the SOBs 100-1 easily. Do we have government by the will of the governed? Does a truly Republican government have anything to fear from the people? Anything to fear even from an armed group of citizens marching through the nation's capital? The armed march on Washington has been a marvelous talking point. Other subjects provide a wealth of perspectives, some genuine, some crafted by spin doctors. But this subject provokes reactions that lay bare the very premise of a citizen's relationship to its government. That was written by my friend Carol A. Valentine. Another woman with more guts than most men in this country today. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And God bless each and every single one of you. And God save this republic.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Behind you, something's not right.
Throw out your arms. It's been well past the proof. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Surrender your charges. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Just produce your and do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike,
the money founder of the Ku Klux Klan.
$27, ladies and gentlemen, for 24 issues. Veritas, make checker money order payable to Veritas and send to P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's P.O. Box 3390. St. John's, Arizona, 85936.
Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Order. Crisis creation. Incite black and white programs. Agitation.
Come back there! You're surrounded! By the UN in white and blue, the ATF, the men in black, of the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilation. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood.
For who?
The sonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots is crisis creation. Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.